Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Brother Gary. And the Lord bless each one that's came tonight. We give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And last week, I preached on chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. And I was thinking of going into the book of Kings. And I had a look at the book of Kings. But I'm back in Samuel. There's so many chapters of Samuel that I've missed. And you know, I had a bit of a time of prayer. Just asking the Lord. And there was a few messages what I knew I could have preached from 2 Samuel what I didn't preach. And I just want to share one of them tonight. And I haven't had the time I wanted. I know I say that every week. But just trust the Lord will help us. I want to read 2 Samuel 12, verse 1 to 14. And I want to talk about David's fall and David's forgiveness. And you know what's listening, coming along listening on the phone, reading this 2 Samuel 12, going over and over and over, as much as I had the time to do. And there was just something in it that really blessed me and encouraged me, you know, because I don't know if I'll mention it when I'm preaching tonight, but you know the story when the prophet told David that this baby's going to die, but David still held on. And David fasted and prayed for 7 days, praying. And then when they heard the child was dead, he rose and he went to his house and ate and so washed and ate and everything. And the people were surprised. And they came to David and they said, why'd you do that? And David said, while the child was still living, though it was sick, there was hope. There was still hope. So he was believing God still to do something, that God would turn and have mercy, and the child would live, even though a prophet told him that child's going to die. So he knew that. And that's something for us when we pray for somebody. And maybe somebody can tell you the outcome already, and it's set that it's going to be that way, but we can still hold on to the Lord. That encouraged me. It mightn't mean as much to you as me, but it meant something to me, the way I seen it and the way it's read. He still held on, believing maybe God will change his mind. And nothing changed, but he held on anyhow, and that gives us hope. When there's situations that people say, it's not going to change, it's not going to happen, we still need to be like David and hold on and believe, and God still might do it, and believe that God can do it. Let's read from verse 1 of 2 Samuel 12, and you may see it because I want to read a few verses tonight from 2 Samuel 12, verse 1 to 14, and I don't think I'll get everything over here tonight because I started out with just a wee drop of hay on the fork and then it kept getting bigger. And then it got too much. And that's what happens, but praise God. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor, and the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and his children, and it had eaten his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was came unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave to thee the house of Israel and of Judah and if that had not been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such a things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed the Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be, his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast done great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, and the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Let us bow our heads again tonight, and if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. Praise God. The Lord bless every hand that's raised. Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we reverently and humbly come before you tonight. Lord, there's not one of us worthy, but we come because of, even as our brother mentioned tonight, because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you'll wash me and wash each one of us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and cleanse us with thy precious blood tonight. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, I pray. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help the Lord. I need your help and I need wisdom tonight in Jesus' precious name. Father, pray for every hand that's raised. You see all the hands lifted. Pray, Father, that you'll meet every single need, for I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that the enemy be rebuked back, and Lord, that you'll meet your people's needs in Jesus' precious name. Pray again for all the nurses, all the doctors. You'll bless them and strengthen them. Pray for those that couldn't be here tonight because of work or some situation or some sick. May you touch them and bless them and be with them, I pray. And Father, just be with us in this meeting tonight. Bless the young, especially in the service. May they be inspired. We thank you so much for them. And we pray for, Lord, our own sons and daughters, perhaps not here, that, Lord, that you'll save them and you'll move on them and you'll change them and deliver them for your glory. We plead your precious blood upon them and upon each one in this house tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 tells us, wherefore let him that standeth take heed, lest he fall. And we're looking at this tonight, and some weeks back, I was meant to bring this out, but I didn't feel led to in that service. But this time I did feel led, and I can't explain that, why that happened. Maybe it's just me thinking that. But anyhow, I'm trusting it is the Lord, and we'll go with it like that. You see, backsliding but never begins with, you know, a real outward act maybe of guilt, but in the secret thought of the heart, it's where backsliding can begin. And thou hast left thy first love, therefore, Revelation 2, verse 4 to 6. Thou hast left, therefore, thy first love, therefore thou art fallen. And there's so many today, and they started well, but something happens in the heart and the devil gets at them and they do really leave their first love. And God never wants us as Christians to leave our first love, but we need to remember the Lord. And that should be the focus of our Christian experience and our life and everything. And our doctrine too should be the Lord Jesus Christ should be the center of everything. And you know, Christians many times fall out of fellowship with God. Although they might not fall out of their relationship as children, and more than the prodigal son, Luke 15, could fall from his sonship. So you see, he was always a son, and you're always a son. You can fall out of fellowship and always be a son, but yet you need that love restored, isn't that right? And God's forever married to the backslider. Now you see here, there was a vast difference in the results between the fall of Saul and the fall of David. There was a vast difference. And there's a vast difference in the results of the fall of Peter and the fall of Judah. So there's falls in the Bible that are different than other falls. And David, you see, made a mistake. But David repented and David fell on the Lord. We saw the other week. David was sorry for what he'd done. Though he was wrong, and though God judged him, and even years later, the judgment even came on them. And the Bible is clear on that. And Peter denied the Lord and all them things, but Peter repented and he was sorry for what he'd done. But Judas showed no remorse. No remorse. And you see, Saul as well, back there as well, different from David, because he had the chance to change things, but you don't read of him doing it, changing it round, repenting. You don't really read of him doing it. Now, I don't believe he's lost. I'm not saying that. But I'm just telling you, he wasn't David, and he was never going to be David. There's a difference. And there's definitely a difference in Judas and Peter, wasn't there? Because Judas hung himself on the tree, and the Bible calls Judas the son of perdition. Now, the first thing is the nature of this. David, chapter 11, you could read through it, the nature of it. David was guilty of adultery, and David was guilty of murder. And David sent Uriah the Hittite up to get him killed because he wanted his wife. And he was lazy, and that's what the Bible more or less says. And he was up on the roof when he should have been at war. And there's a lot of Christians, when they should be at church, they're not at church, they're at something else. And David got legat when David should have been out at war, and on the forefront of the battle, he was laying up on the rooftop, and he was looking over on somebody else's business that wasn't his business. And you know, every one of us, I'm not blasting David, because the Bible says, him that looketh on a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery already with her. And I tell you, many's a man's guilty of doing it. And David was guilty, and David didn't just look, but he took. The look got the better of him, and he took. And you see, maybe the look, but it went further than the look. He took what he looked at. And I'm sure she must have been a beautiful woman, and he watched her bathe, and she was naked. And that took his attraction when he should have been away out at the war. And another thing about it is, look the many wives David had. David didn't just have one wife. David had lots of wives. Loads of wives. Now, we know David's a type of Christ, but he had loads of wives, and Solomon had as well, and we know the Bible teaches that. But he wanted this woman, and he knew this woman was a married woman, and her husband was one of his most loyal subjects. And he'd done the dirt on him. There's no other way he can tell it, and I'm going to preach it just like it is. And I can't change it, because the Bible is exposing it. And the Bible does expose them type of dirty tricks. And David, it was a real dirty trick to appease his dirty conscience, what he had done. He put Uriah to the forefront of the battle. Uriah the Hittite. And he told your boy, he says, come back from him. Let him more or less get killed. That's what he was saying. He set him up to get him killed. And he knew he'd done it. Now I'll tell you, that's a dirty act. And it's a bad thing that he'd done and taken the woman, but it's another bad thing. Adultery's one thing, murder's even worse. It was worse, the murder, than it was the taking of his wife. The murder was worse. And I tell you, think of it, and then God says he's a man after his own heart, because he repented. Aren't you glad? Do you ever hear people saying, oh, but that boy there couldn't get saved. He could have killed somebody. He was in the paramilitary. Do you ever hear people talk like that? But yet that man could have genuinely repented. And you could have somebody lives as holy as you like, and they never acknowledge the Lord, and they never acknowledge their sinner, and they go straight to hell. That's the truth of it. Note the faithfulness of the Bible in exposing the faults and the feelings of the heroes. The heroes are not missed. They're here, and they're exposed. And this is a warning for every one of us. And David is not the only holy man that has been dragged into the mire through sin, and been influenced. There's others as well. 2 Samuel 11 and 2 says this, and it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And that was Uriah the Hittite's wife. And you know, he ended up marrying her, and this, even before that, he took her and all, she fell pregnant to him and everything. God sent him a prophet and said she's going to die.
But there's others as well.
You see, Eve saw before her the forbidden fruit. And she was warned, but she never took no heed to it. It's not right. And then you see Lot's backsliding. Lot's backsliding. He went down to a place he should never went down till. And also that was Sodom. And then his wife looked back, and she should never look back. So there's some things what we're all maybe guilty at times, but we ought not to do it. But anyone can fall. Thank God for repentance, isn't it? And mercy. The first step that led to the destruction of the old world was the ticking. You know, and then if you go and I'm not going to really get into it tonight, but Genesis chapter 6, and William Branham really mentions this a lot, and he's hard on it. And he said God never did forgive them when the sons of God looked on the daughters of men and saw they were fair, and they took them wives. And then he goes in and explains that they came from the Cain's line. That's what he says. And they took them wives. Really, it's like the believer mixing with the unbeliever. And we know that the believer should never marry with the unbeliever. The Bible says that. That what light of fellowship of darkness is light. The believer should never marry with the unbeliever. It's unevenly yoked. And we're not to be unevenly yoked. And there's a lot of people get married, and one of them lets on to be saved, and they're not really saved. And then after a few years, they realize they never were saved at all. They just did it. Because they maybe loved the person, and they did it, or said they loved them. But I'm telling you, you need to know. You need to be sure. And I'll tell you, when you've got somebody, it might be tough. You might have tough situations when you're married. But when you're married to a man or woman, vice versa, that's a believer, and there's tough situations, at least the prayer, you can pray about it. But when it's not like that, and it's unevenly yoked, there's only one doing the praying, and the other one's doing the twisting. And that's just about it. And the Bible says that a good woman's a jewel in a man's crown, but a bad one is water in his blood. So you see, the words of Jesus Christ are very searching in this here. In Matthew 5 and 28, you could read them. And here's what it says: "But I say unto you, whatsoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after her, committeth adultery with her already in his heart." And you know, as we stand and glare at the searchlight from heaven, you know, there's not one of us, I believe in here tonight, I'll lift a stone and throw it at David. Not a one of us. Because in our life, I know we're forgiven tonight, but every one of us did things we should never have done. And God's searchlight would expose it. But thank God for the blood. Amen. Here's another thing. Let's see the fruit of it in verse 14. "By this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also should surely die." You see, the marrying of Bathsheba before the child was born didn't cover the guilt of the sin in the light of God. In chapter 11, verse 27, you could read that of 2 Samuel. How sad when the behavior of a professed servant of God fills the mouths of his enemies with arguments against him, and it brings a cause. What I'm saying is, there's great men of God, but when someone goes wrong and they do something they shouldn't do, it causes the unbeliever to talk and to say things what we should never hear them saying. And I wouldn't go to there, he does this or he does that. And there's been men of God accused of things, and it ruins their testimony, and it can ruin their ministry. I'll tell you, Billy Graham was a great man. And you know, Billy Graham had a certain way he conducted himself. Billy Graham would never be left alone with a woman by himself. William Branham was the same. And there's certain rules he had. If you ever watch his life story, you see it on it, how he conducted himself. And there was never an occasion for the enemy to get at him that way. And the Lord knows that you have enough problems without them ones. Now, I know a pastor, an African pastor, and this pastor, I knew him really well, and I traveled with him many times till different parts of Africa, and there was a section of ministers, and they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing. Just let me put it like that. And I don't need to say more than that, but they were guilty. It wasn't just talk, they were guilty. And you see, they were doing it, and this man wasn't doing it. So they set him up. And they set him up, and they sent someone to his room, and it wasn't the cleanest room, and they set him up, but he wasn't having any of it. He left the room and walked out. Because he knew if he joined their club, he couldn't preach against any of that stuff. But there's some things needs preaching against. And the man of God that's going to preach against it has to watch his own self. Because if he doesn't watch his own self, he never could preach against it. Not that he's anything, but you understand what I'm saying. And they've done their best to get him to fall. And I tell you, that's the devil, isn't it? And how sad when the behavior turns out like that, and these misdeeds of Christians give the occasion for the enemy to blaspheme the holy name. Ezekiel 36 and 23 says this, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall sanctify it in you before their eyes." And there's many a time the Lord's name's been profaned. Do you ever hear a person saying, "Well, I wouldn't go down there. Such and one goes there and they, whatever, excuse me, what they're doing, what they shouldn't be doing." And they use that as an excuse. Now, it's not going to save them when they get to the judgment, but it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing if the Christian loses his testimony, isn't it? The Lord's given us a testimony, and we want to guard it, our testimonies. Romans 2 and 24 says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Now here's another thing, verse 7, and I want to move through this, and I don't know how much I'll get, I won't try and keep you too long tonight. The conviction of it, there was a real conviction with this, wasn't there? God was going to convict David, because he loved him. And even though he'd done wrong, the Lord still loved him. See, this is the thing about God. God's love doesn't change, even when we do wrong. That amazes me. The thing that amazes me, when we're at our worst and at our stinkiest position, and I'm referring to my own self, that's when God can come to you. And yet, with all, sometimes we try and position ourselves that God could speak to us, and we have this idea. If I position myself in such a way, maybe I'll fast for a week and I'll do things. And that's good. It's good to do. I believe in all that. I believe in sanctifying. I believe in all them things. But God still might never speak this. But yet God could talk to a man and he's not even living right, because the Lord loves him. And a woman, the Lord loves him. And the Lord's love for us doesn't change. And when we weren't walking where we should be, the Lord still loved us. And when we're walking now where we're meant to be, the Lord still loves us. His love remains the same. And it's good to be holy and sanctified, isn't it? Cleanliness is next to godliness, physically and spiritually, isn't it? "Thou art the man," verse 7. What a word from a prophet of God. "Thou art the man." David was ready to blast whoever this was, but it was his own self. And I tell you, it's easy to blast somebody. And, you know, I remember a situation of a brother, and there was a lot made from it. Looking back on it now, I believe it was all approached wrong. That's my own opinion. But a man came to me, who I believe was a man of God, and he said to me, "You better be careful about what way you go about this. You need to be like treading on rice paper." And I never really fully understood what he said, but what he said came to pass, I can guarantee you that. And it made havoc. And it split brothers up that shouldn't have been split up. And that's the work of the devil, isn't it? And I tell you that the devil can do that. And here, Nathan, he's ready, you see. Or David's on a high pinnacle here. He's ready to, "I'll short this boy, should die." Nathan says, "You're the man. You're the man." And I'll tell you, when he told him that, it struck his heart, didn't it? He was the man himself. Those who are living in sin are not to be convicted with it. You know, just just a wee conviction. God will really pierce someone if they're really a believer. Do you know that? That God's harder nearly on a Christian than he is in the unseen, because we know better. Isn't that the truth? Acts 2, verse 37 to 38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked, and I know this is preaching to the unseen, pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. But Brother George was telling us the other week that a friend of his took him to this certain service, what they belonged to. And they came out and they said, well, George, what did you think of it? And the man spoke well. But George said to the wee woman, I think it was a relation of his own. He spoke well, but there's one thing he never said. And she said, what was that? She said he never used the word repent once in all of his message. And the woman stood for a minute and says, you know, you're right. When I think of it, he never used the word once. But you could not read through the New Testament, and you could not read through the book of Acts. You wouldn't have to go far, just to chapter 2, and it's speaking about repent. And John the Baptist preached repentance, and Jesus preached repentance, and Nathan the prophet preached repentance to David, and the Bible's full of repentance. And repentance is good for anybody, isn't it? Repent. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As Christ was pierced for our sins, we must be pierced for conviction, mustn't we? Amen. David's secret sin was now naked before God, no longer a secret. The thing that he did on the rooftop that he thought only nobody seen it, and the thing that he did behind closed doors that he thought nobody seen, and the words that he whispered into servants' ear to put that other Uriah the Hittite in front of the battle, he thought nobody heard it. God heard it all, and God seen it all, because God is searches through the universe and sees everything. God knows everything. You know, we really could see that God sees and knows everything. I'll guarantee it would change us. Isn't that the truth? That God really does see and know everything. Every single thing about us. You know, it's like the man, what William Branham tells a story about, and I can't remember his name, but he says this man thought he'd never done anything wrong till he got before that great light. And he said, in the presence of that light, have you ever told a lie? He didn't think he had, but then he thought about it, and he maybe had told one or two. And God is a light, isn't he? He's the light of the world. When a man has a message from God, his manner will be bold and his speech direct. And I'll tell you, Nathan's manner was bold and his speech was direct. And Jesus Christ was the same when he was here on earth, wasn't he? But he was merciful. Merciful as well. Now here in verse 13 as well, the confession of it. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. I like that part. David never denied it. Once it was exposed, once it was revealed, David never denied it. He admitted it. I've sinned against the Lord. You could tell somebody I've done something and they'll tell you, I've done it myself. I remember once I was took to a certain place, sat down, and I was questioned. And my own mother was brought in. And she says, tell them that you've done this, this, and this. And I says, I don't know what you're talking about. The constabulary. And I told them lies. I was guilty. Sure was guilty. And I knew I was guilty. And even with my own mother sitting there, don't know what you're talking about. And Tom was guilty. There was a car found, just let's say she wasn't in great condition. She was found. And there was blood in her and everything. And I had cuts and I asked how did he get them. And I don't know what sort of a story I made up, but it was a story. It was all lies. But yet the same time when God moved on him, faced jail and couldn't tell a lie. Now that wasn't the same fella what was there before. Something had happened. That's what God can do to you. The Spirit of God can change you. And I tell you, I like David here. David said, I've sinned against the Lord. He threw his arms up. Isn't it great for a fella to throw his arms up? That night, I didn't throw them up. I did later, but not on that occasion. I'm being honest. He makes no excuse. He mentions no exhausting circumstances. He blames no one for the betraying. His secret prophet reveals it. He says, I'm guilty. He's too deeply wounded to offer assistance anymore. And real repentance, when there's real repentance, there's no resistance. You know, I was asked with another man to pray for a young man not very long ago. And this young man needs real deliverance. But we hadn't started praying hardly at all, and he stopped us. That'll do now. That's enough. You see, he didn't want to give up. There was a resistance. But when God touches somebody in this real repentance, there'll be no resistance. They'll want it. You know, do you remember the time when the maniac came in the meeting and he says to William Branham, I'll squash you, I'll kill you, I'll rip you in pieces. And William Branham says, like I weighed, I was calculating his weight about 9 stone. He wasn't big. He said 128 pounds. That's about 9 stone. 140 is 10 stone. I think it was about 9 stone. You could check it out, but it was light, small. And he said the man could do it. But he said the Spirit of God come on him. And the Spirit of God spoke out and said, thus saith the Lord, you'll fall over my feet. And this big boy says, you must be joking, I'll kill you. And he come on him and he went to hit him and he fell over his feet. Clean over his feet. And they said to William Branham, is he delivered? And he says, no, he's not. He's not delivered because he loves that demon. He loves it. And there's people love their sin. And they won't give it up. I remember another man years ago related to my own self. And he desperately called for me one night and I thought, this is great, he's going to come. And I got him real close to that position where he thought he was going to come. And he says, no, I'm not doing it. He refused to do it. And he's still not delivered. And he's older than me. He doesn't say, I've sinned against Uriah, but I've sinned against the Lord. When a man has discovered that he has sinned against heaven, he will cease justifying himself. He was guilty. Sins was exposed. Luke 15 and 18, I will rise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. This is about the prodigal in the Bible. And you know the story when he come and he tells his other son that's never left home, that's always been with him. He says, go and kill the best fatted calf and get the best robe and everything. He was upset, wasn't he? I tell you, friends, never be upset. When God brings someone in and promotes them quick, don't be upset. Praise God for it. Isn't it great? Psalms 51 and 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Job said in Job 40 and verse 4, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. And you know Job was a just man, but this is still what he said. Job humbled himself before God. Now, I didn't read on to you, but if you read on, God speaks him out of the whirlwind after this. And God says, stand on your feet and command me and I'll answer you. God kept Job a thorny. God blessed him. But he was humble. I'm going to come to close and one more thought, and I won't finish this tonight, all of it, because I don't want to hold you too long. In Luke 18:13, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the last thing, the forgiveness of it. Verse 14, the Lord hath put away thy sin. And we know John 1, verse 1 and 9. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess them to the Lord. No matter what we're guilty of, we can confess them to the Lord. And I want to say tonight, sometimes Christians do things they shouldn't do. Now I know there's a lot of people and they're run about and they're in some sort of an organization where they're untouchable in a sense. But I want to tell you, every one of us can make mistakes. And if there's one thing about the message God sent in the 20th century, he showed that. He showed it. That anybody can make mistakes. You think of when William Branham judged that wee woman, and she wasn't living right, and she wasn't dressed right, she was exposing her body, and he condemned her. God convicted him. He convicted him. And he got to talking to her, and she was a backslider. Now, she would never have made the criteria for any of the groups, would she have? She wouldn't have fit it in. That's the truth. It's like a woman at the well. Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. But the religious boys wouldn't have went through it. They wouldn't have touched that woman with a barge pole. She would never have been one of their members. But Jesus did. He came not for the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The physician for the sick. Amen? You don't need a physician if you have no sick. But he is a physician for the sick, and he is a savior for the sinners. And I know we're saved tonight, but aren't you glad that even when we make mistakes, the Lord loves us? And David here made a mistake, but he repented of it, he was sorry for it, and the Lord forgave him. And the Lord restored him. Now judgment fell on down the road. You've only to read the next chapter, and you could see that. But God did forgive him. And he won many, many battles after this. And then this woman then turns around and has a baby called Solomon. Isn't that right? And you know, I was surprised. Because here I'm listening, the fellow reading it from the Bible. And I'm reading it on and I'm watching and getting ready and the thing's playing. And then she has a baby and he's called Solomon. And here's what the Bible says. And the Lord loved him. It's not there or something. That was not something. The Lord loved him. And you think how David got that woman. The whole thing was all wrong. And it was wrong. But he repented. And the Lord forgave him. And now Solomon's born. The other wee baby's died. But Solomon's born. And then the Lord says, the Lord loved him. I tell you, the Lord loves you tonight. Let's come and pray this evening. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you're a loving Savior. We thank you for that little verse in the Bible, God is love. Lord, we haven't looked at David to condemn David. For Lord, who would any of us be to condemn another? But we're looking at it tonight, and then we're seeing the Lord Jesus, the merciful Savior, the merciful God, the God rich in mercy, even in despite of all these failures, and despite of all these mistakes, Lord, when we repent, Lord, you receive us with open arms. We thank you tonight for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you how the Holy Spirit can change a man and move a woman. Make us the people of God that you want us to be. Father, we just pray you'll bless your people and strengthen your people tonight. And Lord, anyone that's tuned in, may not one person be condemned, but may they see this, that there's hope. Hope for the deepest, darkest sinner. Hope for those that's backslidden and failed and made mistakes. There's hope in the Lord, for there's mercy in the Lord. But thank you for that mercy tonight. Father, we ask for mercy for our own sons, our own daughters, our own family members that are still away from you tonight. We pray for mercy and we pray for grace. We pray the Spirit of God will move them and strive with them and draw them to your lovely self. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless your word to their hearts tonight and bless your people. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.